Hey, this is November 12th, 2017. I'm Adam Knight, and welcome to the Ha Ha Jokes So Funny Please podcast. And that's please spelled P-L-Z. So I had the Adam Knight podcast, did it by myself for a little bit, and then I had John Lewis on, another comedian from Lubbock, and we kind of, you know, messed around last week, and he really enjoyed it, so I think we might be doing a regular thing, and this week we had another great comedian on, probably, I think, the best amateur comedian in Lubbock, Kendall Smith Rodriguez. So I think this might morph into me and John Lewis doing it all consistently. Maybe Kendall doing it consistently. He seemed down to do it, but, you know, we're just doing it. The point of this podcast, again, is to kind of capture the learning experience of amateur comedians. Whoa, there's almost a wreck in front of me. Oh, and a homeless cat just rubbed up against me. Wow, cool. Just trying to capture the experience of learning about open mics and try to portray to the audience, you know, like what it's like to try to start out in stand-up comedy. It's pretty brutal. But a lot of it is just us, you know, messing around, trying to, you know, talk about the rooms that we do and the gigs that we do and just trying to, you know, make people laugh, I guess. So we have a good time. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. It's a lot of just kind of going over our week and in comedy, what we learned, and some jokes that we're working on. So here it is.
It's Mexican. I'm very middle-class white person.
So here we are. Hello. John Lewis's house again.
What?
Trap house. Second week in a row. We're here with Kendall Rodriguez as well.
Hello.
This is Adam Knight. Hello. Here we are. Yeah. I think what happened last week, because I went back and listened to it too, was that I had like the phone flipped over, which, and I think the mic is like right here.
Yeah.
Did the mic, is the mic that you're buying, is it like a, because I don't know how microphones work.
But yeah, so the mic I bought is like a condenser mic, and like you don't have to talk shop too much, but it's got like an arm on it and stuff, so it would sit like a,
it's like
here.
A full room mic, because there's like a difference between
it's
like
omnidirectional.
Yeah, it's like there's like mics that you like supposed to talk into where it's like close up, right? Versus like mics that you pick
mic
up
or whatever.
Yeah, so it's like a room mic.
Yeah, it's a nice omnidirectional mic, so hopefully we'll sound nice and crisp.
Did you return it? Is it around?
Yeah, so the old one I have is actually in there. If you open that drawer, you can look at it. It's really no, the lower one.
Oh, here it is. What is this? Simple Success Cookie Press.
That's why it wasn't working, guys.
Yeah.
They're going through my drawers and looking at all of the things that were thrown in the drunk drawer. We had a simple cookie press that's in there. And then there's the microphone.
I'm going to put it up here like they do in late night where it's
cool.
Like a fake.
No.
Oh, nice.
It looks like Leno.
Yeah. Hey. But so what happened this week in comedy? We both did shows last night.
Yeah.
You've been working. Kendall has a job now. What do you do?
I'm a barista.
You're a barista?
Mm-hmm.
You guys were killing that blender last night. You really going ham on it?
You have no idea how terrible I was like.
Maybe.
Feeling. I was like, man, I don't want to start this blender. Please be done. Ice.
Please, covering it up.
Right.
It's funny how they'll always try to make like margaritas in the middle of somebody's set. It always seems, no matter what bar you're doing stand up at. Just a quick introduction. We're all kind of like entry level stand ups. We've been doing like open mics and stuff.
Yeah.
For, like, I've been doing open mics for like 5-4 months, something like that.
Ooh.
Yeah. How long have you been
show
doing
off?
Them?
Since 2 months, like September 28th. So not even 2 months.
I think the first thing I went to was in August. So like not long. And then Kendall, you've
and
been in
I
it.
Started in like February of 15.
15.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's like 3 years.
You're like
15. Yeah.
You're like the Pauly Shore of the gang.
Oh, yeah. Like very.
So
very
who started?
Experience.
How many people have like? How many people have dropped out since you started? Like tons.
Yeah. What was the scene like when you started?
Was there people that you thought were gonna be around and then aren't anymore?
Yeah. Like Dave. Is one that I thought would stick around.
But he was like, was he just doing it for like a hobby? Like, when did he start? Because he's that old guy, right? You know what we're talking about?
Like, yeah, I don't know him.
Dave's like 50s. 50s has a huge beard, right?
Oh, wow, old dude. Okay.
Yeah, I've only seen him at one show, which I don't think you were at. Or maybe, I don't know. But it was like the Goodbye Gary Dorsey show.
Oh, okay.
That's the only one I've seen him at.
Oh, okay. Okay,
since
yeah.
I've seen him. But he didn't he start?
Yeah, he. I don't know. He just was.
Comedy?
in it since I was in it, and I thought he would just keep doing comedy. I expected him to just stop.
Really?
But when did he stop?
Recently?
Yeah, probably about 6 months ago.
Okay.
Maybe less. And then Corey Mooney was a guy who I thought...
But he moved to Chicago, right?
That's valid.
Yeah.
He started Laugh Up City.
He started
Laugh Up City, yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I was asking Aaron Durbin about people that were in the scene that had moved on. He mentioned him. And I just looked him up on Facebook. I tried to find something on him on YouTube, but I couldn't find anything. And there's this guy named Josh Norman, too. He's also in Chicago. I guess everyone went to Chicago.
John,
I believe. Oh, John Norman. Is he cool? What were they like?
One-liners? They're both good guys. Corey is like a self-depreciating humor.
Deprecating?
Deprecating, okay. Self-depreciating. He doesn't like attack himself.
He's a bad investment.
No, he does a lot of self-deprecating humor. He turns around during his set and points at his head.
Oh,
nice. See that bald spot?
Nice.
There's some guy that's... You see that guy posted on the Facebook page that's like... His name's like Josh Cox. He wants to do a show.
He does.
I think that'd be cool.
I think our thing is because we live in like a town that has about 200,000 people in it. So it's big enough that we attract like, you know, mid-level comedians, you know? But we don't get like big talent that comes into town. No. Like very rarely.
Stanhope was like, what, 3 years ago? Bill Burr, like just right when I started, like it was like the beginning of October, he was like, he watched the Texas Tech game and he's like, I like Texas Tech. I like Lubbock. I'm gonna go.
I mean, we should go out and see them.
He said he wanted to do the theater here next year, try to catch a football game here. So we'll see if he comes. That'd Bill Burr is one of my favorites. Yeah, if I get another dog, cool. If I get another dog, I'll name it after Bill Burr. I always name my dogs after comedians.
It's good.
Who are you currently living with?
Louise. After Louis C.K.
Oh, okay.
So, good segue into...
So, do we want to go there now? Or
sure.
Or do we want to talk for a while?
Okay. Sure.
So, the big thing that happened this week was obviously the Louis C.K. bit.
What?
Five women came out and brought different stories about Louis, right? About him being inappropriate with them and stuff.
Whacking it off. Which sucked, because he's my favorite comedian.
And a lot of people's, right?
There's
a lot of people who got into comedy.
A lot of people shit Louis and stuff. Yeah,
there.
A lot of people are like hate Louis C.K. because of like the terrible comedians he inspired. But I feel like I'm not really. Do I give off a Louis vibe? I feel like I don't. I feel like I'm pretty different than.
No, I mean, I think everybody kind of, like, any of the comedians that are in our generation, I think is going to kind of give off something of a Louis vibe.
Because
he so wrote, like, the mold of what that thing is, you know, but...
One of my favorite things about Louis is, he'll be like, I was at the store the other day, or not, I'm just lying. Like he'll undercut his premise like that. Like it
but
seems offhand, but
me.
It's intentional.
Yeah.
I don't know, I love it.
Well, I mean, he's been at it for a long time. The funny thing about it, too, is the thing that he wrote on Conan forever before he was, you know, had his own shtick at all. So many of the things that we appreciate about Conan even come from his sense of humor, you know? So it's hard because it's like one of those things where it's Bill Cosby is the same deal where you, like, go and you're like, oh, well, he did all of this crap while that stuff was going on. But you're like, also, if he hadn't have been there, right, we wouldn't have had all these other comedians, right?
Yeah.
So... I don't know. I feel like you have to take the good with the bad to a certain degree.
Can I still say, like, I like Louis C.K., or is that like, ooh, should I, like, not say that?
No, anymore? Comedy and masturbation. For sure.
I get the same.
I guess, I mean, I'll probably say to other comedians, but, like, I feel like other, like, the general public. When I told people my dog was named after Louis C.K., like,
no,
8 out of 10 reactions was like,
ooh, that's weird.
And gross. Like,
one thing that's strange to me is, like, it's not, like, we don't have a hierarchy for sexual abuse right now, right? Like, everybody just kind of, like, everybody from Weinstein all the way down to Louis gets kind of lumped in the same thing, right?
Anything sexual.
Anything sexual that was inappropriate,
right?
Right. So there's no, how do you say, minutia in, like, understanding.
No gray area.
Yeah, like, there's no gradient. So it's like, you have pedophiles here, and then you have Louis down here, right? And then there's no, like, understanding of, like, where people fall in between the two, you know?
Yeah.
But I think, like, saying that Louis is on the same scale as, like, you know, one of these other big Hollywood dudes
scale.
That was, like, grooming 14-year-olds, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, a crazy, like, it's an insane place to put Louis at, you know? It's obviously inappropriate.
It's like what I was telling you last night, like, there's got to be...
it should be proportional. The punishment should be proportional to his actions. Like, I think, I mean, he got, it wasn't like rape or anything like that. Like, I mean, he got consent, but it wasn't like consent, because it was, he was basically abusing his power over him, right? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I listened to fucked up. The Jim Norton show the other day, and it was interesting.
Yeah, with the Sam dude.
Yeah, right? Jim and Sam show, which is like
the, who is the Sam guy, comedian?
Yeah, so Sam Roberts is a guy who was on the Opie and Anthony show for years and years and years, right? So Opie and Anthony split. Jim Norton was a regular on the Opie and Anthony show. And so it became the Opie and Jim show, right? And then Anthony Cumia started his own thing, right? Like podcast. Now he's like a big time podcast dude. Like uber crazy, but like he's around still.
They say so, crazy shit.
Yeah, and then so Opie, who's, you know, reasonably funny, and then like, you know, Jim, who's like absolutely hysterical. Jim Norton's like one of the funniest comedians and like probably one of the best radio personalities of all time, right? He's with Opie, and then they split, right? So because Opie winds
they're
up
terrible people and can't get along with anyone.
Yeah, I mean, they're not like, I think Jim Norton's a pretty decent dude, but like, honestly, like, even I never was able to listen to the Opie and Anthony show hardly, just because they were just kind of fucked up.
Yeah, they were just so the most fucked up thing they've done tons of fucked up shit, but like the craziest thing they ever did was this thing called Baby Bird. Have you ever heard of them do that? They what they did was they had someone like eat a bunch of food and then vomit into someone else's mouth.
Yeah, it was just shock jock shit. Like the most extreme. One thing they did was they brought in like a homeless dude one time, and this guy like had this little guitar that he loved, you know, and you could tell this guy was crazy. And Opie ran in and grabbed the dude's guitar and just smashed it. And that was the funny thing that he did was,
you got him, dude.
Fuck crazy people. Yeah, you know, that's the funny thing, you know.
Like I was listening to him like an old episode of them like a few days ago, and like Jim Norton was talking about how he used to fill up cups of piss and pour it on people when driving through his car, and like they were cracking up, and I was like, "That's so fucked up." That's
God. But it was shock jock stuff, right? Yeah, so, yeah. And Jim Norton's like like funny on any level, right? Like you can listen to his stand up and think he's hysterical, and you can listen to the show and think he's funny. But he's also been friends with Louis C.K. for a long time, right? So he's been in episodes of Louis and stuff.
Yeah.
And his point was basically like, you can't get away with, if you're in a position of like authority above somebody, and if you ask them for something sexual, you've already put them in a bad situation.
Yeah.
Right? You've already done that, because the implication is this is going to jeopardize your career if you don't do this.
I thought Jim Norton would go harder to defend Louis, but like he really didn't. Like, I feel like he was pretty fair.
No, and why would you? Like, I mean, I feel like you can like say, no, that's a messed up thing to do, and then also like not say that he's, you know, like you don't have to accuse him of something he didn't do. Like, it was sexually inappropriate, right? Yeah. But
I hope Louis can still do stand-up. Like, I know, like, Michael Richards, like, the guy that dropped the N-bomb, a bunch of, whatever, Laugh Factory Comedy Store, and then, like, Bill Cosby, like, they literally couldn't do it, like, in front of any audience, because they would just get booed off the stage. Like, I hope that doesn't happen to him. Like, I hope he can still at some point work a little bit, because he's my favorite comedian. Like, I hope I still see.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. I think he'll get work. Like, I mean, you
know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, it's Louis C.K. He's going to come back and he's going to talk about it in his stand-up. And he's going to do it the right way, and people are going to laugh.
If he can do that, then, I mean,
he might not. You know, Richard Pryor, because this is sexual predicament.
It's hard not to.
This is different. Like, Richard Pryor. Is
that, you can't be like, hey, it's just jokes anymore.
Right. Well, and now I feel like any like sexual joke he does is going to kind of be tainted by that too.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, this is that creep that did that thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's going to turn into Seinfeld just like, hey.
I don't know how you come back from that, because we don't have an example of somebody who just kind of bowed out gracefully after a scandal like this and then came back later. You know? I guess Woody Allen is the closest to it.
Yeah, but not in stand-up, Michael, though. Like no. You can get booed off the stage if you make a movie. You know what I mean? If you make a movie, like, you can find an audience that will go see it. But like, if you have people booing you in stand-up, like, the whole audience, you can't have an audience, because it just takes like one or two people to ruin the show.
Right. So here's a question: if Louis C.K. books Lubbock right now, would you?
Oh yeah. I would.
Me too. I would.
There's nothing else to do.
Be one of like three people in the crowd with not having tomatoes, but you know.
Yeah, right.
I saw him live
in Lubbock. Yes, absolutely.
I saw him live 5 years ago on the Oh My God tour.
Wow.
That was the one where he closed with the of course not, but maybe. Which I actually didn't like. I was like, I didn't really like that closer. You know, it's like, of course we should respect people with peanut butter allergies. Oh, I'm sorry. But, but maybe if we close the eyes, they all. So what did you think of Studio 19 last night? What did you think of the crowd? I feel like they were kind of like
quiet. What is, well, first, what's the venue? What's Studio 19?
It is a coffee shop where Kindle works.
Valid.
It's what's the size? Like, how many people? And
well, the room's real small. The room, I would say, is like 15 foot by 15 foot, something like that. And it fits, I don't know, as many people as that fits. Like, maybe like 15 people.
Nice. So you have a stage and like a mic set up?
Yes, there's a mic.
There's a mic, but you know, stage. So you're like on eye level with everyone.
Yeah. And the first time I did it, there was two people in the audience, and it was fine. The second time there was, I don't know, 10, and this was like the most. It was pretty packed, and they were filming it too. It's so bad, and it was on film.
Way you can look back and remember.
Oh God! And and they have a dimmer switch too. The last two times I didn't notice that, and I just performed in like with 80 lights on me, and like the audience and just in a fluorescent light coffee shop. And like this time I asked JJ, I was like, can we turn on the dimmer switch? And he's like, dude, that doesn't matter. I was like, it kind of does a little bit, but they had it down when I got there when they were filming it, and I thought it helped a little bit, maybe. But
maybe people, at least you'll get one or two creeps that will look at you sexually.
Yeah.
At least you'll get some sort of a positive response.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, like the last two times, like it was so, like, there wasn't a lot of people, but like they were kind of like forced to pay attention to you, otherwise it would feel weird, I guess. And I didn't use I didn't use a mic those two times because it's like a room like this and everyone can hear you. So I was like, I'm not gonna do it. But this time I used the mic and there's like more people, but they did not care if it felt awkward. They were just like, we are not having this at all. Like, we're done. But yeah, I don't know.
What did your set consist of?
So the first 2 weeks, I can break down my entire comedy career because there's like 6 weeks. So like the first 2 weeks, I was just like flailing, doing whatever I could, and nothing worked. So I was like, all right, nothing is working. I'm gonna try to write like one-liners, at least have jokes.
Yeah.
Like jokes that's a setup punchline. At least, so it's not like a story that drones on forever and ever. And that seemed to work. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to move on to kind of like what I want to do now, which is kind of like the formula that you introduced me to, which is like, this is weird. You know, maybe this is why it's weird, and then like act it out why it's weird. Like, I feel like that's kind of my voice and like how I tell jokes in real life. Like, I can't think of like puns or good turns of the phrase really easily. Like some people, like Stephen Feldman can, but, so I was doing that now, and I thought it was all right, but I don't know, man. They did, so that's pretty much that. My set was bit like, so I did like the flu shot. Well, I have it here. So I did I did the flu shot. I did old versus new companies, which I think I did. No, I didn't do that in front of you. But I did like the marriage thing, which I did in front of you last night.
It was a pretty good bet.
Is it?
Yeah, I like it.
I guess I'll keep it around.
So the brand of humor that Adam does that I really like is he does like observational humor, but he does observational stuff about things that you wouldn't generally notice, right?
Really?
It's not like a, what's the deal with airplanes kind of thing. It's like a legit, like, these are things that people do regularly that are really weird that like you don't notice until you're in that situation, right?
Hell yeah.
So like, one of the bits he does, and this is the marriage bit, is he says, I hate it when people act like their story is so interesting. Right?
Yeah.
It's really funny. It's like, his thing is like, I have a friend and he and his wife, they were in together, and I asked them, I was like, how did you guys meet? And he said, well, actually, it's a really funny story. And then it winds up being a really boring story, right? And so he tells the joke, and the punchline of it is, a really interesting story would actually be, right? And then he like tells like an interesting story.
If a shark went through your television screen, and then you wished on a cursed monkey paw that it turns into a woman, and then you marry it, and that's how you met your wife, that would be a pretty... crazy way to meet your wife.
That would be absurd, yeah.
Right.
I don't think we're gonna do that anymore.
The way most people like meet their spouse is generally not interesting.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like within the context of what most people are gonna find interesting.
Yeah.
But I like that joke because it points out like how people generally think their lives are more interesting than they actually are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I like it.
I don't think I'm gonna do that anymore because it's just so crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe on the second part,
Something crazy. I don't know.
Interesting, but like real life. Like, what would be something like? How'd you meet your spouse? Like, I don't know.
We were skydiving,
dude. What if you just made it really like ratchet?
Like scandal. Why? Yes. Like, yeah.
Like, oh, dude, you don't believe this. So I was actually with her sister for a while, and then, you know what I mean? And you just, like, make it into a weird story. Right. Like, take it to the weirdest place possible.
Right. Then me and her mom hook up. And I cheat on her sister with her mom. So her mom hires a lawyer. Well, no. I wouldn't hire a lawyer. I cheat on her sister with her mom. Well, her mom and her sister get in a fight. Her mom hires a lawyer to sue the sister.
And then she gets pregnant.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go.
And then I think I'm the baby daddy, so I get with her. Right. But then, like, turns out I'm not the baby daddy, right. So we break up.
But by this point, me and the lawyer started getting close. So I start going to the lawyer's office, and she had this janitor who was fat. You know, like, yeah. And that's my wife.
That would be an interesting story.
Like I think that. I might go back to one-liners this week again, too. Like, I was thinking about one that was like, I live next to a family of rugs, like a mommy rug, a daddy rug, and a baby rug. And I think I'm about calling Child Protective Services because they just beat their children. Instead of cleaning them, yeah. I don't know, beat the rugs. Then I thought of this, I don't know, one that was like, people say...
The other thing I like about Adam's joke is that they show so much pent-up rage.
They do. They do. I try to bring the energy, but like I think that might have been another thing that messed me up. Like, all right, so that was another thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about is like, sometimes I feel like I don't match the energy that's in the audience, and like they're just weirded out. I feel like that happens a lot, like because you're very like you're like here's some jokes if you dare, like if you want, like you just kind of like the way you just like. Sometimes you'll have those note cards and you'll just like throw them down. You're just kind of like, here, like joke. If you want, and like some like that, like that Studio 19 like had that vibe last night. You know what I mean? But like I go up there and I'm just like doing jazz hands, and they're just like
Kendall is like Kendall's like the king of sad boy jokes.
Yeah,
just like,
yeah
it is like joke, really sad thing.
Yeah,
joke, really sad thing that's also funny.
I've got to get happier. I plan on it.
Kendall's big closer is he'll come out and he'll go, you're just gonna have to tell it, dude. Like, I'm not gonna be able to do your bit. The one where you just walk off. Like,
oh,
that's the one.
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna close with that. Like, I was like, dude, he's gonna keep going. But then he came back. He did that last night.
I should have just walked out of this.
This joke works every time, though. Like, there hasn't been a night. Which tell your joke. Like, how does it go?
Okay, you guys wanna see an impression of my dad?
That's the joke, and it works every time.
It does work
because I think everybody goes, "Oh shit, here it comes!" You know, they think something great, and then it's just nothing. And it's like this empty void.
My favorite part.
I have a couple problems with it.
Oh yeah. Really?
Because it didn't do too great. That's kind of like I think where his point turned, because like his first part was really great, and the second part was like, huh?
Yeah.
Which is kind of what they were giving me.
For sure.
Like, if you do anything weird, like, that's kind of what they're giving me. The best part, though, is the freaking... Because he's like, he was around just... Like, that's the funny part where he's like... But, I mean, my dad was around. Just not here, like, with me. He might have been in Lubbock. Like, I think he was...
Sadder!
He's like, but I think he was on Earth. Like, I don't think my dad was an astronaut.
That's the best part! Like, and I don't think...
I like that part a lot, too. But Taylor doesn't like that part. Taylor's my girlfriend, by the way, and she's my joke consultant on
nice
most every joke. And she was like, that part's weird.
Yes, and that's what it's like a comic joke, I think.
Yeah,
which is probably part of my problem too, because I'll just get too weird. Like, but I like that. And
I had a guy one time. I tried to tell him. I said, "What's wrong with this joke?" And I told him the joke, and he just said, "Well, I mean, it makes some good points, but it's just not funny." So you get too caught up in your head thinking, oh, this is a weird thing, and then you don't find the actual punchline, and they're like, well, then it's not funny.
I think the albino girl joke that you do, I think if you set up the albino thing,
a little better.
Because I didn't get the album.
I don't know it.
It's like I've got a white girlfriend. She's from Africa. She's not adopted. I'm sorry. I'm just doing it. But
no, it's okay.
She's not adopted or anything. But she's got white skin, like a red afro and red eyes.
White afro.
Yeah, yeah. I say.
So she's albino.
I have a white girlfriend.
But she's white.
Yeah, her parents are from Kenya. Ironically, she's not adopted. She's just got like real pale skin, white afro, red eyes. Anyway, I call her my little pumpkin spice latte. She's just your stereotypical, you know, white girl. She loves Uggs. She got them. Well, not Uggs. They're not the brand Uggs. She carved an alpaca and made some boots, but they look just like Uggs. And
I think if you do like, I think, damn dude, I feel like I went through the fucking door to Narnia. That's crazy.
I think if you do like,
if you're like weirded out, like, yeah, she's from Africa. She's got like white skin or like, maybe say something like, yeah, I think the doctor said she was, Calcino or Calgino, like, you know, like rhyme with albino or like balbino, like, so I don't know. She's
the end of it is,
but you get, they got her,
she's so basic and she's always like, you know, like, I don't know, it's worked
that gets
twice.
A big, that always gets a big
it's
laugh
twice, but it is definitely like maybe uber racist or something. Like, I don't know if it's racist or like something albinoist.
I think you have to,
and
definitely,
sometimes there's some people that are like,
I think you would definitely have to make it
what?
Clearer that it's albino at the beginning, and then I would say the carving out, and then I would say like, yeah, she's always I would just do the basic white girl stuff earlier to set that up. I would say like, man, she's always doing basic white girl stuff, like, man, she's got Uggs, and then maybe at the end, like, don't, I would just say typical white girl stuff or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe. No, I've
got a joke I really want to do, and I don't know how to make it work. You know how Tom's, the shoe company, they give an extra pair of shoes to, like, you know, families in Africa or whatever? They've got competitors. They're called, like, Georges or something. I'd be like, how, wouldn't it be bullshit if you're in this village in Africa and a truckload of shoes show up and you're just so excited to get your Toms, and then you open the crate and there's some Georges in there, and you know that the villagers next door have Toms, and you're gonna have to walk into the village wearing your shitty knockoff shoes.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. There's a girl on Conan that does I like Tom, like, you know that shoes Toms, that's like, when you buy a pair goes to a poor person. I shop at Payless Shoes, which is like, when you buy a pair of shoes, a pair of shoes go to a poor person, which is yourself.
I feel like that joke better. That's different.
But yeah, do you think that's a thing? Like, you gotta, do you have to take into the crowd's energy? I really don't know. You have to change your setup according to the crowd.
That's a good question.
I think your joke may be like, isn't it weird that there's like even in African villages they have knockoffs? You know, like, could you? Because there's Toms and then there's Georges, which are, you know, you can explain it to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, do you think these African kids are like, oh, I'm about to get a pair of Toms? They run to the truck and open it. Georges.
Some bullshit.
Right, like, Georges, they're like trying to sell them, or like, I don't know.
There's got to be an Air Jordan joke in there.
Yeah,
like,
that's
like,
that's
do you think like African kids are like super psyched to get like hand me down like torn up Air Jordans?
Wouldn't you be pissed if you got the hand me down torn me up Adidas?
Yeah, what Jordans are those? The scratch threes. The ripped up threes.
That's pretty good right there. I talked to Eric Schwartz, was in town not long ago, who's like a mid-level like comedian type dude, really funny. And I asked him, because when he came into like the room and he like did his set was like literally 50% like Latino Mexican jokes, right? And he's like a really pale white dude, right?
Yeah.
And his only claim to that culture is that his stepdad was like Hispanic, right?
Half Hispanic,
right? Yeah. So that's like his claim into it. But he spent a lot of time like trying to understand the culture and stuff. And there's a certain level of camaraderie amongst the like the people he does the jokes with. So I went up and asked him, I was like, dude, like, is your thing like you see the room and you're like, oh, perfect. There's like 20 brown people here. I'm just gonna go with these like Mexican jokes and just like what happened. And he's like, no, that's just my set.
Yeah.
Like, and most people who show up to my show know what they're gonna be getting, you know? Because I have like La Cultura, which is like a show, and I've got a bunch of shit that like I do already, you know, and so it works out because people know what they're getting.
I think when you start out, you have to have as general as comedy as you want, but then like once people start coming out to see you, you do jokes for your audience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people show up to Seinfeld to hear the airplane bit or whatever.
Yeah, you know? maybe here in Lubbock, I think like y'all were talking about your style earlier, and maybe there was some rage and that you needed to like judge the room. I don't know. I think you just write down what you write down, and if you think it's funny, you say it to every crowd. I think you're right. I'm not saying that there shouldn't be like you write material for, you know, the older crowd and know that you're doing a college crowd or, you know, none of us anytime soon, like a black club, you know, or maybe actually,
I do it all the time,
like the east side of town.
Just kidding.
Is
it every week?
No.
On Thanksgiving.
There's a new one coming. Yeah.
Really?
But no, isn't that one? Are you talking about the one on Thanksgiving, like the one night only? Okay. Yeah, I think we're gonna. Are you gonna go?
That sounds good.
$15.
It is expensive, and you have to like go to a barbershop to buy a ticket.
Like how much of a black comedian show is that?
You literally have to go buy the ticket at the barbershop. That's awesome. Can you go up, or you just go in and watch the comedians?
They're booked. They got like 12. It's like a 3-hour show.
I think the only white dude is JJ. I think.
Yeah. Really?
They asked Caleb. I don't know if he's gonna do it. But he's like I got three dinners to eat. Like I don't have time to do.
How many people show up to that? I'd be really curious to see.
I think a lot.
They probably pack it out.
But white people, I think, kind of come out to support their audience. I don't know.
Well, in Lubbock, like, yeah, there's been a Wild and Out type show with like local rappers and Level. I don't know if you guys have been there, but it was packed out.
Plus, it's awesome. A big venue.
The reason is because it's like, if it's East Side affiliated, then it only spreads over there. You never hear about it on this side of the interstate. I mean, unless you're talking to me, I guess.
Kendall's black.
That's true. So I think that's why that happens. It's like, it's so separated.
And I think we got some really good black comedians here too. I think if they they kind of just go up there and kind of like fart and do whatever, but like they're just so naturally funny. Like Sherrod just is like always drowning in pussy. Nikki talks about having a huge black dick.
Just hilarious. That's never not funny.
Yeah. Joe Cash is always. But Joe Cash hang out? He kind of runs both crowds, doesn't he? And Joe Cash is thinking about starting an open mic too.
Really?
He wants to start one. So he's going to do it Sunday or Monday at like a hookah lounge.
Sick. Dude, I love that we could have 7 open mics a week. That would make me very happy with life if we had an open mic every night of the week.
I would love to do awesome. I say this, but I'd like to try at least once to do a black crowd.
Yeah, I would too.
I know Bill Burr used to do that, like he's like, you gotta go where you suck. You know, like you gotta they make you better too.
The good point for me is I suck such everywhere.
My act is like so wide.
Be improving all the time?
Yeah. The world's my oyster, right?
Yeah. I was just saying, like, my act is just so wide. I don't know if they'd like, if I can, like, make the joke on me, they might dig it. Like, Bill Burr was just,
joke might not land so well
Yeah. Like, Bill Burr was like, you have to, like, be their mascot, like, hey, I'm the white guy. I don't know. But, like, I don't know. I don't really understand how he navigated it. Because he said, like, be the mat. Like, he kind of learned that you're the mascot, and that's kind of how you work it. But then he also was like, fuck people that do that. So I don't really get it. I don't know.
It's his opinion.
I have one joke that works pretty well for that. And that is, hey guys, I wanted you to all wish me congratulations. I just got landed for a movie role. I'm going to be the live action version of Butters from South Park.
Hey guys. You know? Yeah.
So they wanted the whitest person they could possibly find.
That's the whole shit. You could do a skinny bit too, or something like that.
That's true. I think I've got a bunch of
So you know what I think Sherrod said about him? He's like, I've never seen skinny jeans fall off of a
person. That's pretty good. Suede's big thing is he'll get up and he'll just do, dude, I gotta take you to Golden Corral. We gotta go to Golden Corral now. Fucker's starving.
I thought about doing one that was like, I really wanted to stand out in comedy, so I grew a beard and did a white guy and did stand up comedy. Really setting myself apart.
That's good.
I don't know.
So the next show we did yesterday.
So that was Sunday. So yeah, that was Sunday. That was the first
show of the night.
That was the first time I did two mics. That was an open mic, and then we did. Have you ever done Freaky Tiki Tavern?
When it was the laugh off.
That was the laugh off.
What was it like then? Were there a lot of like people that would show up to it, or really?
For a while. Yeah. The first one was packed. Second one was.
When did that
start? They had to start this like the second and third one. They had to not let people in.
Did that start earlier this year? About a year ago?
Yeah, like maybe early last year.
Okay, so it's been going on for a while.
A year and a half ago.
Yeah. Okay. So, how... Do you know where... I know Caleb gets... Like, Laugh Hub City gets paid... Like, I know we get paid for that show. We get paid for Bar PM. We get paid for Backstage. We get paid for Laugh Off. Well, how do we get advertised? Like, how do people hear about... How did that
Facebook ads. That's all of it goes into Facebook. So like, and that's how I found out about the whole scene was like literally just came up on Facebook. It was like Laugh Hub City or whatever. So it works, you know. Like,
awesome. Yeah.
I've got a Facebook page that I put like shitty memes on and stuff, and I like promote them that way and stuff. And I've been able I don't have anyone in my friends group that's on like likes the page. You know
that what?
I'm just gonna casually like I just like
oh,
I
that,
just
so like page. Yeah. I mean, I work in a marketing company, so like we do like Facebook promotions like all the time, and it works really well because you get people that are inside of like a local area.
That's so
area
funny. I've heard that they don't work. Interesting.
Nah, man, they work great. Like I don't have any of my friends like this page, and in the last like 2 weeks of having it open, I already have 100 followers on it.
So, we should take some of that money.
Like, $15 on it.
I think we should take some of that money and then pay the comedians that we have and say like if you invite all 1,000 of your friends to like this, you know, you get $10.
It's true.
Can you do that? I've never invited someone to like a page. Can you just like?
I did.
Is it just like invite all your friends and do it?
Yep.
And the following on the page
eventually
is pretty good.
It'll go. You're being spam, man. You need to cut it out. Then you gotta wait a day or two. But
fuck off,
if
man.
You press that invite, but it'll.
I used to do our media team. I used to do our Facebook team for my fraternity, and like when you put effort into it, like because they give you like stats. But have you ever done? Do you have like your own page? Like you can tell like how people are engaging with it, and how many people are seeing with it. Like it starts going up. Like,
yeah,
and you put effort into it.
Yeah, I know it's about like consistent posting.
Yeah,
and interaction with people too,
and forcing people to invite their friends and stuff like that.
That's true.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Freaky Tiki. So Freaky Tiki is a shitty tiki bar that's on the east side of town right by the interstate. It's a weird, weird place.
It's in the middle of... I mean, I didn't even know like Lubbock, that was a part of Lubbock. It looks like an abandoned... It looks like Detroit. Like,
yeah, it's weird. There's this weird... No. Lubbock is like an old cotton town, but like the ag industry is kind of like... cratering, and so there's this huge infrastructure for processing like cotton and stuff that's downtown that no one uses anymore. So
is that considered the Depot District or no?
It's just considered downtown.
Okay.
Like Depot's a little further down.
Yeah,
right.
Where Backstage is.
But anything that runs along the interstate is basically like the old like it's just old buildings that like the train yards used to run through and shit. And now it's like this just this cave.
They look all vacant. But they don't look like too run down, but they look pretty ghosty.
Most of them are vacant, yeah. Most of the buildings. And they were all vacant until like probably 10, 15 years ago, and they started pumping money into like restoring a whole bunch of it. That's when the Depot District started going up and stuff, okay. Like maybe 15, 20 years ago, you know? So we started like rebuilding some of it.
Have you been here that whole time?
A long time.
Right?
No, 15 years. 16, 15 years.
Okay. So where'd you live before that?
I didn't know all this. That's
true.
I've been here 15 years. I don't know.
Where'd you live before Lubbock?
Odessa.
Nice.
Odessa, Texas.
Better in Midland. Or Crane.
No, it's not better.
Better in Crane.
Yeah. Probably in Monahans.
Cool.
Andrews.
Geographical jokes.
It might be better.
You and the rest before of the audience that, have no
I was
idea.
In Fort Worth, and before that, I was in Abilene, Texas.
Nice.
That's like a little thing.
So,
Texas Bowl.
Shitty Tiki
That's
Bar.
Right, West Texas, very much.
Anyone?
Weird crowd. So, the way it worked out was there were like different pockets of people. We had the Obligated Friends crowd, which was probably like 25, 30 people. Yeah. And then we had another 15, 20 people that were there for a poker game, right? So, like, the owner of the bar was like, hosting a poker night there.
They were like in their 40s, bald. We're having it.
No, they were not. Like, they one of them went off, I think, at like two or three of the jokes. But, like, they also closed out, like, halfway through, like, the set and just, like, went home. So, like, I think they got tired of, like, trying to play their game over us telling shitty jokes.
So they were
just, like, went home.
They were the table closest to it. The next table over was, like, all of Landry?
Yeah, yeah.
Landry's friends. And then, as you know, like, tables far scattered out, which is great for comedy. You want them as far away as possible. yeah, so, but I mean, I guess it was a pretty big, I mean,
it was a good sized crowd. It was like, it was just 30, very weird.
30 people, I don't know.
It was, you just had a bunch of people who were there for different things.
So the best, so the part that we have not mentioned is that there were these two,
meth heads. That's the best just, word for it.
Yeah, just like, just like, heads. Just like fuck ups at life, and like wearing a Chive shirt that said polite as fuck, or and then the other one had a shirt that said Dar, which it looked like the
Dare,
the logo from Dare, like the drug thing from the 80s, and it said dumb as fuck, or dumb as
a rock,
dumb as a rock,
oh, okay.
Dumb as, which is wrong, it's two A's.
I want that shirt.
And
winning,
and it smelled like shit. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it smelled terrible.
It literally smelled like sewage in there.
Yeah.
Luckily, they started cooking pizzas and it kind of covered it up. But like, I think it was like the fountain that they had going on, but it smelled really bad.
Have
you ever been there before?
No, this is my first time going. I was very happy with it because I was hoping it was going to be like a really shitty dive, and it was, you know. So I was super, super pleased with the situation. And it was
the
like
funny thing is that it's trying not to be a dive. Like, it doesn't even know.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't recognize that it is, which just makes it even funnier. Yeah. So, okay, the first guy that went up was a dude named Suede. And Suede is like, he was like a lamb before the slaughter, man. He just like went up and like
he knew those two shitheads.
Yeah, he knew.
They were like playing. All right, so within seconds when Caleb opened, they started shouting shit. I don't even know. Like, oh yeah, hey.
Just like
they, and like they were noticing that Caleb wasn't stopping, so they started getting louder and louder, and they were like, I don't want to heckle anyone, but like I can't. I was like, oh, this is. And then Caleb wasn't doing, like, I think, like, they said something, and Caleb was like, yeah, and they kept on saying something, like, "Say, try, wasn't funny, try again."
Well, and nobody would put them, like, nobody would put them down, they were just like, Caleb would acknowledge them, but then not, like, just slam them.
Yeah, and Caleb was like, all right, this is gonna be one of those nights, or something like that, and Suede went up, and I think he knew them, so, and then he was like, he was talking shit to him pretty close, like, they got within, like, 10 feet of him, because they were playing darts near him. And
they like, were contributing as much to his show as he was. Like, there was one point where they literally talked more during his bit than he did. So like I think he got out two actual jokes, and then the rest of it was just him having a normal conversation. It wasn't even like funny banter between a heckler and a comedian. It was just like two normal people having a conversation. Got to hear half of it because we were sitting like away from the mic. So it was like we couldn't even hear the dude who was heckling. It was just Suede's responses to the heckler.
So and every single heckle was like, your jokes suck. Your jokes suck. Your jokes suck.
Over and over.
Your jokes suck. Yeah. And like nothing original. And
so funny.
And like I, when people do that, I always want to be, oh shit, I got heckled at Studio 19. Like, every single time I do crowd work, I just get wrecked. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, so, like, there was people, like, drinking 18 beers. I was like, I'm bombing, like, 5 minutes in. I'm like, all right, I have to. So you guys brought cases of beers. That's interesting. And they go, yeah, it'll make you funnier. And I'm like, God damn it! God damn it!
Yeah, you can't do it unless you know that you have something that's gonna absolutely destroy them. Like, yes. I feel like you have to have something in your hands.
On the heckling?
Yeah. Like, if you wanna confront a heckler, you gotta have something that's gonna fucking end it. You know what I mean?
But that was like crowd work. I think I have crowd work.
I think I have, like...
But I told you, like, that happened in front of him at the Lantern Bar.
Where, yeah.
To my defense, or in my offense, against me, like, I was going too hard against people that weren't... They didn't want to... I wasn't insulting them, really, but I was just talking to them.
They just weren't there for it.
They just...
Well, it depends on what that dude was insecure about. So, if he feels like an old dude... And you're like, oh, so you're like an old millennial. Mm-hmm. And the girl who defended him or whatever, the backwards hat guy.
He was 40. He was an old millennial.
I know. Truth is truth. But like there's every joke has a victim. Like,
right.
So
he was cracking up.
Okay. That's not who she defended. She defended backwards hat guy. And what if he was like in the mirror? Like, I don't know if I should wear it like this. Samantha, and she was like, "It's okay, backwards hat guy. Like,
yeah,
you cool. look great."
Well, I think I'm a comedian. The way I was delivering stuff, like, wasn't really too insulting. Like, I was like,
the way I was saying,
I don't think was bad, but the way I was saying it sounded bad.
Well, what was his
I was like, dude, you look like a 1950s dad, but like that's not bad. Like that's almost a compliment. Like Don Draper is a 1950s dad. So they were like, what I learned from that night was like, if you do crowd work, you know, kind of get a few laughs, which I did, but then I just stayed there. You gotta get in, get a few laughs, and get out.
Yeah.
And but that was just immediate. Like I said, like you have beer, and they were like, "Go fuck yourself." You're cool.
Yeah, I know those guys.
That's funny.
They were there because my Instagram post. I'm pretty sure.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm glad they were A bags.
So what wound up happening to the Freaky Tiki was you went up like right after Suede, right?
Oh yeah. So I guess we didn't finish on Suede. So like they.
They're
yeah. So they just like wrecked.
Just
so so their heckles sucked. But Suede, I mean, Suede said something about his shirt, like being spelled wrong or something like that, like the Dar shirt, which isn't bad. Like Suede was just kind of like, because they knew him, like he literally works with one of those dudes, and he's like, "Hey, dude, don't say anything about me. You can't tell jokes." And then like the two blocks of tables, which is the bulk of the audience,
they all went, "Ooh,
like," and so it's like, okay, cool. Like
no, why?
Did okay, you see so... Caleb started doing it too, like
Well, what I wanted was for Suede to punch back, but he wouldn't do it.
He just kept taking it.
And then finally he got off stage and Caleb had to come back and like try and like recover everything a little bit. He was like, "Oh, hey, that was crazy, huh? Well, we've got more jokes for you, you know. Have you guys heard my joke about, you know?"
So I was
tries to recover things, you know.
So I was in the do spot and I can't deal with that apparently. Like I knew they would just wreck me, or I don't think they would wreck me, but the audience wasn't on my side. Like I think if an audience like is paid to see you, like you can wreck hecklers, but like if you're trying to win, just make an audience laugh and win them over like a bar show, like I mean, I don't know. So, and I knew, I don't, like the audience was already like, bah! So I'm like I just have to power through it. And they were trying to talk, they were yelling shit originally, and I was just talking loudly, never leaving a gap for them to fill anything in.
Yeah.
And like after like
two, that's a good strategy.
After like 2 or 3 minutes, they just shut up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that works because you ignore people, and then they're like, "Oh, there's nothing that's easy to hook onto it."
Yeah. And but then they started again.
Well, with the next comedian, they just kept kind of doing it, you know, and then they finally got bored of the situation and just left, like probably like halfway through the show, you know. I went on last, and I was angry about it because I had like
he had some good jokes.
I'd been sitting there making material about the place, right? Yeah. I literally had like 4 jokes about the fucking place, right? and I had 2 or 3 that I was like, if they come back at me, I'm gonna just hit them so fucking hard that they're gonna be in outer space. They're not gonna want to fucking come back, right?
Right.
So I got up there and I said, "Hey guys, we had some celebrities here tonight. We had the models from Dogs Playing Poker," and everybody just started laughing, you know. And I was like, "And we had 2 celebrities here as well. They're brilliant impersonators. They were impersonating people with personalities." One of them had a shirt, a Chive shirt on, which was a dead giveaway. No one with a personality wears a shirt called the Chive. It doesn't happen.
Yeah. Right.
No one reads that site that has a personality, you know. Yeah. And
actually,
then
already ruined.
And then I smoked the bar. That was the last piece of crowd work I did. And I said, "I figured out this bar's theme. It's actually not islands. It's desperation. You know, or like
regret.
Yeah, because you sit here drinking your pink drink, wondering what you did wrong to wind up in Lubbock on a Saturday at 11 p.m.
I'm always scared of crapping on the venues though, because like,
well, I knew the owner wasn't there. Out. Like the club owner wasn't there. The dudes who the poker people weren't there anymore. And then the guy who had like been doing the heckling wasn't there anymore. So it was like, there's literally, there's no blowback here now. I wish there was, one of them was there so I could like do it again. My crowd work thing that I want to do is like, if there's a heckler in the audience and if he's like kind of like rough looking, I want to be like, hey dude, what's your name? And be like, you know, Timothy. Like, ooh, that doesn't sound like a name an intentional kid gets. You know? It's like whatever mean like shit that. You can say, you know? Like, and then just like go on. Because like, what, you don't, like, I don't know where you can go from that. Like, I just like roasted him so hard at that point that like, and most people, like most hecklers are not thinking like two or three steps ahead, you know? They're thinking, what's the thing I can say that will get me a little bit of attention, you know? And then like, they don't have a joke lined up past that.
Yeah, so, right.
I don't know.
You could have some, just be like, uber heckler ready. Like,
yeah.
What you just said, you could just turn it, like, as soon as somebody says some shit, then ask them, what's your name? And then hit him with the...
Doesn't sound you're like an actual name. Joke.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't even have to, like, relate to what he says.
Don't
like,
think mommy
oh,
loves
sorry,
you.
What'd you say? What'd
you...
Yeah.
You gotta be careful. You don't wanna...
George Wallace said, if you're getting heckled, it's typically because there's a space in your set that they feel like there's room to do that with. Now, given if it's too
George
much
Wallace wants his money
darts,
back, though.
Oh yeah, immediately, back. Immediately.
What do you mean? Who's that? I don't know. Who
no fiction reference.
Oh, I didn't hear.
Some Pulp Fiction reference.
Oh, okay.
I was saying sorry. No, like they're that. No, it's not your fault. You were getting heckled.
Pulp Fiction. That's a valid reference. You can make that in most that. Circles, and George Wallace, somebody will know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, looking like a bitch, right?
Right. Yeah.
See, I'm just.
Let's pride fucking with you.
Going to Disney.
No. No, yeah, yeah. You were saying, like, there's space in your set. I mean, like, it's 10 seconds in, like, they were like, oh, this show's about me now. Like, there's...
Yeah.
It's so, not... It was not you.
That's just control, like... I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever had to deal with some people that abruptly rude.
Yeah, I think Caleb said that was the worst heckles he's ever had. Like, the worst show he's ever had. Caleb was almost got into a fight with them. Like he's like,
yeah, he was really angry. He was like ears were red and shit. It's like, holy shit, dude, you're so mad.
Yeah.
And I wasn't annoyed by them. I was like, ominously, I was like, holy shit, this is great. Like this is gonna be fun, you know? Like, we're gonna fucking deal with a real idiot, you know? Like, and it wasn't like someone that had half a brain. You know what I mean? It was just
you
like,
should have told Caleb you wanted to go on,
dude. I wish I could have. I just didn't want to bump people because I honestly, like in that moment,
you would have bumped me. I'd be like, fucking do it. You go, dude. I don't fucking care.
Please, yes, please. Man, I don't know. I kind of sucked though because like I'd been like plying like this arsenal of shit, and then like at the end of it when they all left, I got to use it. So I was like, well, there's also no way. I need to do it with somebody that's actually there next time. You know,
yeah,
like, actually,
yeah.
Fucking knock them back into the Bronze Age. You know,
yeah. I don't know how you.
It's good though that you were like ready. You were riding like, oh, I'm about to shit on these dudes.
I don't know how you kind of win a room. It would be so much better if we had. A room. I think actually the best room for comedy we have is like the rec room, and if we could fill that, we would really know. Okay, is this the jokes or is it me?
What's
the
venue comments? Like? What's the rec room?
It's in a hotel bar. Are you asking for the podcast?
Or yeah.
Have you been there?
For everyone else who doesn't.
Have
know.
You have you been there?
No, I haven't.
It's in a
hotel. So me too. But.
It's in a hotel. it's in a hotel, and it's. 30 feet by 15 feet, so it's real small. That's a good venue. Yeah. So it's close. It doesn't have a stage though, but I mean, we just need a comedy club. Like we need a comedy club. Yeah.
What's the acoustics like in there?
Reasonable. Yeah, it's probably like maybe a little less echoey than this.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, that's when like people are closest up to you, but like still, those are like tables. I mean, like what you need is, you know, a small room with a low ceiling with chairs that are facing you, and it's not a bar. Like it's like people are there to see.
Yeah.
But like the reason Tuesday went so Tuesday we were there, it was packed, and it went so good because people were there to see comedy.
That's awesome.
It was good.
That's crazy that there were that many people turned out for it. How did they hear about it? You know?
The problem is that. That was like a hot room, and everything worked. So, like, I mean, like, you know, like, there's bad rooms, but nothing works. There's good rooms that everything works.
Yeah.
And so, if we could just get that room filled.
Yeah, if every night was a good night, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
Well, if every night just had like, no, I think that should be our room where we're like, you know, all right, we know it's, you know, we like, I still don't know, like, okay, does this joke work or not? Like, cause sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I don't know if that's the joke.
It's assigning a room to test it isn't going to test it because the crowd will ever change. Like,
yeah.
Like you're going to be able to smash.
But what I'm saying is like, I need
joke here and
you,
not
like,
here. And
like,
here,
like you need to have like an opener that you can do. Like I've got one that's like I recently became debt free. Now I have a net worth of a toddler. My assets include one blank friend calls. Like, I feel like that's a good opener to kind of test the crowd to see, okay, now I know which jokes are going to work and which jokes aren't going to work. Mm-hmm. Like, that we just need a comedy club.
Yeah, I think a club would be nice, but then you get all the politics of dealing with a comedy club, too. So, like, people have to compete to get on stage. I talked to this dude who was the opener for Eric Schwartz, and the way you get on
that's the biggest comedy store in, like, the world.
Yeah, but any club is going to be that way, dude. Did you listen to Caleb when he was talking about getting on in L.A.? Like,
yeah, but that's...
Those are open mics, like L.A.
I mean, it's not like that in Atlanta. Like, there's, like, the Laughing Skull, which is, like, the big comedies club. In the, like you just sign up for an open mic, it's fine.
Yeah, but my point is this, right? Yeah. Like, we are not good enough that we have people that are coming out to see us.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, we're not. But you are. We're not.
But
you know
what I mean? Part of that is that we don't have a room where we're like, okay, we can
No, the biggest reason that is because we don't have a fan base. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there aren't people who are like, holy shit, I really have to go see John Lewis perform tonight. Like, that doesn't happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? There are people who do that for like an Eric Schwartz, right? Mm-hmm. So like, but the thing is, right now is like the meat grinder. Like, this is when you're learning how to be funny in situations that are inherently not funny, you know? Like, you're trying to find jokes that fucking win people over who aren't there to listen to jokes, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what, like, I remember listening to Ron Bennington one time, and he was talking about how, like, you know, sometimes, like, you go through these situations where, like, you have to get up and you have to do open mics night after night after night after night where they might not work, right? But, like, you go through this meat grinder so that you get better, so that when you go to a crowd that is on your side, you slay because you know you fucking 400 jokes that are actually really funny, you know?
Yeah, Leno said 7 years. He said the first four, like, college, you should be getting paid after the... On 5 and 6, and year 7 is stadium time.
Damn, that's crazy. 7 years.
So quoted his. But he also started in, you know, like New York or whatever.
Yeah.
Not saying it should take longer or less time, because he said that shit when you can get on Facebook and market yourself as a stadium selling arena already. Like, I mean, stadium selling comedian already. Like, you can with. Even, like, we could pack every show just based off of new people if we were all marketing like crazy.
Yeah, you know? Sure. That's probably true, man. And I wonder if, like, our marketing game got better and we were like, yeah, I'm performing at this thing tonight, you know? Which I had, like, 5 friends. I shared something on Facebook and they're like, 5 friends, like, yeah, well, I'm coming out and see you, you know? Maybe, you know? Like, interested people, but not anyone that wanted to come, you know? But if, like, I promoted myself better, I might have more people that came out, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, you had friends that came out and saw you, you know? Like,
right. I put it on Insta, yeah.
The first
came out. But that's nothing, you know?
The first
flyers, working on it. Anyway, go ahead.
The frustrating thing about Lubbock to me is like, we were, what, 250,000? 250,000? Mm-hmm. Like, Athens is about the same size as College Town, too. Like, the fact that this is College Town, we should have more
valid
audience.
Yeah.
It's pretty frustrating. And I think, what do you think about, like, coming early, maybe, like, backstage or something like that, and, like, just setting it up so it's not, like, tables. Just, like, having chairs, like, in rows, maybe. Have we ever tried that? Like, is that against?
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like if we publicized it really well, we were like, you know, plugging it hard, dumping lots of money into promotions, putting out flyers and shit, and like leading up to the thing, then we could probably convince like the dude who owns the place, because he's pretty reasonable. Like, hey, let us set up the thing up in rows, you know, and like. But the Schwartz event wasn't like that. The Schwartz event was left exactly the same. But I think again though, if you get people who come there. Who are just like, yeah, this is gonna be a fun thing. This seems like a legit event, you know? Like, it's gonna make it more real for them.
than for people who are coming. Like, for instance, when we have a DJ that, like, does, like, lead on and lead off for, like, the comedians, it makes it a lot easier because it feels more official.
I kind of didn't like the DJ.
Oh, really?
Thursday. I liked him the first time. I was like, oh, this is good. But, yeah, like, Thursday what happened was maybe I feel like the speakers were turned up so loud because the mic was so loud, but and maybe like the music was so loud too. But so what it felt like was happening was like he would play the music so loud in between people coming up and coming down that people would like start like get out of the show and like have a conversation, and then they would do it for like 2 minutes while you're doing your set, and then finish and look at you. So like you really only got like 3 minutes. So like I don't know.
Where are we at on time?
We have an hour.
All right.
Well,
cool.
You want to stop?
I don't know, man. It's up to you. We do like 30 the first time, right?
We do. Yes.
Do we want to do?
Yeah, I guess we'll stop.
Cool. That works.
Kendall, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. I want to be more prepared next time.
Do you want to plug your rap music?
No, I don't.
Where can people find you on Instagram?
Are you coming? Are you coming out this week or no? We'll see. Whatever works. Kendall says whatever works.
He
hangs his head
in shame. He does.
I'm just gonna keep on forcing you. I'm just gonna text you every week and.
I may come out. I need to. There is a show the 25th.
Yeah, you gotta.
I'm gonna do a half hour, and then three rappers are gonna.
Damn,
rap.
That's crazy. Where's that happening?
Jake's Back Room.
Did you used to do Jake's Back Room like as an open mic, right? Or no? I know Durbin did. They used to do that. That used to be like the Thursday night show.
That's old school. But yeah, no, I've never done it there. Besides that one time, and it was cool. I like that room. I thought it could go good if we could get everybody up closer to the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people don't really. Yeah, we just comedy is like so much in the environment.
Yeah,
which is so like I mean you got to be funny. In anywhere, but it does help. I mean, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, being funny helps a lot if you're a comedian, doesn't it? Yeah. Cool.